Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Hello, everyone. Welcome in to the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Tim Dennis. Big show today, folks. And as a matter of fact, we're getting back to basics today. We're talking ghosts, which it feels like it's been forever since we've done that. I know a lot of you have said we got a little off topic, but it's okay. We're coming right back on topic this week. And we're talking ghosts with a couple of experienced, not only investigators, but experienced podcasters as well. Let's get to it, by gosh. We got a big program today and a lot going on. We've got Blaine Rowan on today. We've got Leetriana Brown. I got to remember to say your name right, Leetriana. I got it. The two of them have a lot going on. Leetriana's done several TV shows, including Repossessed and Monster Quest. She also owns All Access Network. Blaine has also been on TV as well, Repossessed, Mission Unsolved, and Monster Quest, this year, episode 2. He's also an empath and medium. He's investigated the paranormal since, it says here, 1885. Really, Blaine, 1885?
I was around back then in a past life, but 1985.
Okay, I was going to say. He's also written 2 books and is working on 2 more right now. Family Spirit International Encrypted Nation. They also teach paranormal classes. As a matter of fact, they were teaching one right before this program, before we even started up the program. Leetriana has written 9 books and is working on several more. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome them both into the program, Leetriana Brown and Blaine Rowan. Thank you so much, folks, for being on the program today.
Thank you for having us, sir.
Let's start it off slow and then we'll build up. I want to get backgrounds on both of you here, and then we'll start with Lee first. I want to get into your early years and then build up. I know it's kind of generic because that's how most podcasters do it. I hate doing the formula. Let's do the formula anyways, Lee. Start us off real easy. How did you first discover, first of all, your love for the paranormal? Maybe some of your gifts. How did all this come about?
Well, my grandmother started talking to me about what I might experience. And I can remember my grandmother, my mother and father sitting down together in the living room, talking about me, about things I didn't understand. And then I was trying to figure out what were they talking about. So finally, Jenny won whatever the argument was, and they called me in there. And she sat me down, and she held my hand, and I thought, Lord, what have I done? You know, something big's coming. And so she said, Lee, you know, you're getting to be, you know, you're leaving kindergarten. You're going to be going into first grade soon. And there may be some things that happen to you that you can't explain. And I'm thinking, what have I done? Does she know I've done something wrong? What is it? You know? And then she went on to explain that I might have some issues with being able to see people that other people can't see, and knowing things that other people might not know. And she was going to try to guide me through it by introducing me to my angels.
That's a heavy conversation for a 6 or 7 year old, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a lot, but I'm glad she did, because I had already been seeing things and feeling things. And I thought, you know, I was doubting myself. I was doubting myself a lot, and I didn't want to tell anybody because I couldn't really tell if it was I mean, I had a big imagination, and I've been telling my parents about it. And my dad would say, you've got a really incredible imagination, Lee. That's a really incredible thing for you to have. You know, God blessed you with a good imagination. And then I'd see my mom and dad kind of back and forth. And so finally, this happened. And it started just like she thought it would. I can remember coming home from school. Mom was making fried chicken. I was really looking forward to it because my mom could fry some chicken.
Yeah.
Southern woman, right? Even though she's from the Philippines and she's Polynesian, she grew up in the South and she knew exactly what to do. And I can remember standing at my window, kind of looking out and thinking, that should smell good. And it went from smelling great to all of a sudden I felt nauseated. Hmm. And I thought, what is going on with me? And the next thing, I told mom I didn't want any food. I just got in the bed and she felt me and I had a fever. Well, I had the chicken pox. And it was a really bad case. And all of a sudden, I had homework for 2 weeks or something like that. And I never missed it. Something bad was happening to me. And I was hurting all over. I had those things on my eyelids. I had them behind my ear, in my ears. They were everywhere. And I was just miserable. And I started praying. And that's when... Long story, but basically I saw my angel, and the way that he formed and the way that he talked to me, asking what he could look like that wouldn't frighten me. And I used to watch British crime TV shows with my grandmother. So I imagine him being in a three-piece suit with a monocle, with a British accent. I mean, she had told me, if this happens to you, think of something that's ridiculous. Because talking with an angel is the most incredible thing, but you have to think of something where you're not afraid, because they won't come to you if you're afraid. And I was remembering, okay, I had Mr. Peanut jar by the bed. My grandmother bought me snacks by the bed. And I saw the peanut guy with the monocle and the hat. And so there it is. And I ran with it and I looked over and there he was. I could see the fabric in his vest. I could see the chain on his watch. I could see everything. His British accent, the whole thing. And it was very life-changing. He worked on healing me, because I had also had an immunization shot before I got the chicken pox, and I was having a reaction to it.
Oh, God.
So it was a double whammy. I was just miserable. And he came back to see me several times. And then I saw him off and on until I turned 18.
Wow. So why?
I called him the man in blue. And I didn't know this, but my mom also had a man in blue. She didn't tell me that till just before she died. Blaine was standing there. Well, I think he was sitting at the kitchen table when she told me, now that I think about it.
Well, was it the same man in blue, Lee?
I don't know. I've often asked, but she couldn't hear what he was saying to me. She said it sounded like a bumblebee in a jar.
Huh.
And she had that big telephone with the big, you know,
yeah,
the big antenna, you know, and she called my grandmother and was standing outside the door trying to listen, because they wanted to make sure it wasn't anything nefarious.
Yeah.
And I'm talking to him and giggling, and mom, I could hear mom saying to Mama Jenny, well, she's laughing, it can't be too scary. And the next day, Mama Jenny was there, you know, she was there with the bells on, and they wanted to know what was going on. And so it happened several more times. And then I was cutting grass when I was 18, and I could hear him talking to me. And he said, well, you're 18 now, and it's time for me to go. And I started crying, and I'm like, why? He said, you've got to make your own decisions. If you need me, I'll be here. You know that you've got a guardian angel, but I need for you to develop your own gifts, and I'm going to hold you back. And he told me, you know, what the gifts would be like and how everything would go. And that's how it went. And little did I know that through a lot of hardship and, you know, concern in your life, that's how you develop a lot of your psychic abilities, because you have to.
But Lee, isn't there a guardian angel or specifically spirit guides that are with psychics throughout their entire life that are supposed to be giving them this information? Why did the man in blue leave you at 18?
I think it's because he was also a healer. He put his hands through me and would heal me. And there's things that I needed to learn on my own.
Okay.
So he was holding up the bicycle and I was pedaling, and it was time for me to do it myself.
I gotcha. Okay.
But I always knew I had an angel with me, and it's he has let me know. What was that? Blaine has started. My house is haunted. And when I did, it didn't do it through the whole class. And now it sounded like somebody was coming in. My husband's in the kitchen.
I heard the footsteps.
Yeah, the front door is right here. And it was sounded like it was coming on in. Anyway, back to it. I had to learn on my own. And I knew my guardian angel was there, just like everybody else knows. But it was time for me to take the wheel. And I did. And at first it hurt, but I don't know. I could always feel his presence. So.
What's the most amazing thing you've ever seen besides the man in blue? What's the most, I guess you could say, heavenly thing you've ever seen?
Oh, wow. I've seen amazing things crossing spirits over.
Yeah.
I can remember, this one's a little hard to talk about, but I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
My grandma Jenny was in the hospital, and these were some of her last days, and we didn't know that at the time, but I suspected so. And she's so gifted. I talk about her in present tense because she exists. She's just not where I can see her.
Yeah.
So Mama Jenny was laying in her bed, and she had to have oxygen, and it was part of her time without it. And I had been walking in the hospital just doing rounds. And I came back to her room, and she said somebody had followed me in. And she looked over and she said, well, don't just stand there. Come on in. And he came in, and she had this full conversation with this man. I could see it. Mama could hear it, but she couldn't see it. She's not quite like Mama Jenny and I. She's different. She's got her own gifts that are incredibly amazing. But she said, I'm not your wife, but I'll talk to you. And he was saying, come go with me. And I jumped in between the two of them, and I could see the connection. It was like a tether, Blaine. It was like it was red, and there was energy flowing back and forth between them. Mm-hmm. And he said he was going to take her with him. And I said, oh, no, you're not. And I jumped between them. And, you know, I called my angels and I said, it's not her time yet. And I knew it was coming. I think that's when I knew it the most. But I said, no, you're not taking her. It's not that time. And she crossed him over.
Wow.
On her deathbed, she crossed him over. And I could see the whole thing. I saw him meeting his wife. And it went up and over like a bridge would, but it was celestial. It wasn't like clouds. It wasn't like, what's his name, from Greece when he was going up into the, you know, sky. Yeah. You know, it wasn't like that. It was a lot of color. There was a lot of colors. There were a lot of energy flowing through it. I guess if you could put like fibers in a jar and it had electricity flowing through them like a snow globe, and you put glitter and shook it, somewhere in there is what it would look like, because it was, some of it was very clear, some of it was very foggy, some of it was swirling. And I saw the woman coming from the foggy side, and she became more clear, and him looking back saying thank you, and then going towards her, and there were people around, you know, her, mm-hmm. welcoming. And he turned around and said, you sure you're not coming? And I said, she's sure, not yet.
Wow.
And he went, and I told Mama Jenny, I'm sorry. And she cried. She said, I wanted to go. It was beautiful. I said, it's not time yet. I can't stop you from going when it's time, but I know this isn't it. There's things you've got to teach us. And, you know, this is just not the right time. mom's just rocking back and forth in the corner of the hospital room crying. And I just thought, what did I just do? Did I just prevent my grandmother from crossing over? And I said, no, that's not the way that's supposed to go. That's not the way it's supposed to go. So just before she passed, she told me that her brothers who died at birth were outside in the hallway, and they'd been there two days, and she knew it was time for her to pass. And so she was going through this as a psychic medium, watching her pass and watching her embrace this celestial side, seeing angels, seeing her brothers for the first time, and being able to keep her composure and just, you know, she said, come here, I want to hold you. And she, I got in the hospital bed with her, and I just put my head on her shoulder. I mean, grown woman, but here I am in there. And we took a nap together. And she said, when we woke up, she said, did you see that we were together? And I said, yes. And she said, well, that's the way it'll be when I come to visit you.
Oh, my gosh.
And I said, I'll remember. And that was like probably the last thing she said to me.
Wow. Wow. That's something
else. But she even walked me through her stages of death.
Really?
I mean, she prepped me. Yeah. She prepped me. She taught me. And there were secrets that she had kept from me for years. And there she was right at the end telling me about it.
So do you feel, you've told us a lot that's pretty deeply personal. Do you feel like you're ready then, that when it comes your time, that you know what to expect?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think that it helps me help spirits that are afraid. If they're afraid of what they've done, I have to explain to them, look, you're doing this to yourself. This is my dog, Luna, and she thinks it's the Luna Show.
Here hi, Luna.
Sorry, I was trying to hold her back.
No, don't hold Luna back. If Luna wants to be on camera, let Luna be on camera, because we love animals here on this show. So
this is
Luna probably heard me.
Yes, she did. She, when I have these on, she can hear you, and she loves her Uncle Blaine.
Oh.
She actually is checking my blood sugar. I just ate, so she's checking to see if my blood sugar is high or low. She's my service dog.
She's your service dog. Well, hi, Luna. I'm diabetic as well, so it's...
okay, well, you understand.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to meet Luna. Well, hi, Luna. Hi,
you know,
sweetie.
When our blood sugar gets high, it makes our breath sweet.
Oh, okay.
So she notifies me here.
Okay.
Luna, come here. I won't bite you. Come here.
No.
Okay, I'm good. I got kids. I'm good.
Okay. Oh, what a sweetheart. Oh.
So I feel like I'm ready, and a lot of spirits that want to cross, they want to be with their family, but they're afraid of judgment. You know, that's how I'm able to help, you know, walk through stages of forgiveness. And then, you know, do you feel like you're ready to cross over? Okay, if you see the light, then you are ready. That's for you. I can't see it. I know that sounds like an episode of Ghost Whisperer, but that's what it's like.
No, I think it's comforting for all of us to hear it. You know, it's there's more questions than there are answers, right, out there for a lot of us. And I think a lot of us walk around blind, you know, thinking things we want to think we know, but we don't. I know that sounds like a riddle, right? We walk around thinking, I wish it would be this way when it's time, or I hope it's not this, or I wish it were this. But to know or want to know is the end game. You know, I think we all wish we had the cheat code for when it's time, you know?
Yeah.
That's the right. I mean, am I right, Blaine?
You're correct.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. My mom passed 18 months almost to the day after Mama Jenny passed, and she went to sleep, and that was it. And I mean, it sucks for me and my husband, but she never knew she was sick. She had a clean bill of health 4 days. Yeah, 4 days before she passed. it was just an aneurysm.
Hmm.
She came to me and said, what happened? Doesn't look bad.
Really?
I said, Mom, you remember when you had problems with your heart when you were a kid and you had those spells? She said, yeah. I said, well, they came back and this one took you out. And she said, well, that makes sense. And, you know, I wasn't going to ask her this, but she told me. She said, well, where I am, everything is so, and she flipped her hands and she said, heavenly. Wow. And she winked at me and that was gone. And then she was gone. Just beautiful. And yeah. I have such peace talking about him. I just miss him so much.
I bet. I bet. Wow. Mm-hmm. So let's switch gears a little bit here. And let's give Lee a minute to gather everything. Let's switch to Blaine for a second. Blaine Rowan, our other guest here. Blaine, tell me a little bit about how you got into this and a little bit about your inspiration and your gifts.
What is funny for me is growing up, I lived across the street from an old graveyard that was all grown up. There was open graves. And me and my grandmother, who was full-blooded Cherokee, would go in there and pick wild blackberries, plums, strawberries, and she'd make cakes and pies with them and jellies with them. Well, we lived on a real busy street. My grandmother crossed the road before I did, and I was four. And as soon as she crossed the road, I looked behind me, and I seen this lady in this beautiful white dress leaning over a grave, just bawling her eyes out. And me being the nice little Southern kid that I was, I went up to her. I said, ma'am, are you okay? And as soon as I said, are you okay? She looked at me and smiled with tears in her eyes. I'll never forget this the rest of my life. She says, I'm okay. I'm okay now, baby. And poof, she was gone. Hmm. And I come back across the street. You know, I look both ways like I was supposed to, like a good little boy. And I ran across the street. My grandmother just had the biggest smile on her face. She goes, out of all my kids and grandkids, you're the one I knew that would have the gift.
Oh.
I have seen that's as far back as I remember. I probably saw them when I was a baby. Because my mom and my grandma would always say, who is he looking at? I remember them telling me those stories. And so for... I'm 60 now, so I've been seeing them probably 60 years now. But I remember back to age four. Wow. And I've seen them ever since.
Wow. That's a long time to be seeing them.
It's And the funny thing is, I thought everybody saw spirits like I did. I didn't realize that I had gifts. I just thought everybody could do this.
Yeah, not everybody has that. I mean, not everybody is seeing people on the other side, that's for sure.
Yeah, when you're a kid, you don't know that, though, because you think you got a gift, and everybody has this gift, you know, or this skill or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
But this caveat off of Lee, when her grandmother passed and her mother passed, they both come and saw me to let me know they were okay. That's how much I meant to them. And that means a lot to me because they came to see me. My dad, when he passed away, went and saw Lee first before he came to see me.
Really?
Oh, it was funny. It was funny when my dad finally came to me. He said, where are all these people I'm supposed to see? All I see is this light everywhere. I said, Dad, that's them. And as soon as he realized that the light was his family and friends that had passed that were coming to get him, he started seeing their faces, their bodies, everything. And then he went and told Lee about it.
Yeah. He figured it out. It was so sweet.
So he was confused by the actual light, Blaine?
My dad, you got to understand, my dad was a very smart man. He was a civil engineer.
Okay.
But my dad was country as you could get.
Okay.
I mean, this country. And he didn't understand all that. He thought, you know, like everybody said, oh, you're going to see all your family and friends. He didn't realize that they are energy, that they don't have a physical body right away.
Okay.
Until they decide to show him, all right, this is what I look like. So then he finally got it.
Well, I suppose, you know, we hear the stereotypical, you know, especially with near-death experiences, you see all these people come to you and they're smiling and they're telling you, come with me. And, you get the stories and you assume physical forms, right?
Yes, you would. But you've got to remember, they're a pure form of energy. And it takes you a little bit to adjust to pure energy. And then you start seeing the faces and the bodies and the clothing and stuff like that. But it's not right immediate.
Okay.
Yeah, there's some time. There's some adjustment time.
Okay. Well, I guess that makes sense. I always just assume that because you're the newbie in the neighborhood, people are going to adjust to you and you know, they'll make you feel welcome. Not that I have to adjust to them.
You gotta adjust yourself because you went from inside of a vessel where you had a human form, where you had a body, to you're a pure energy form now. And it takes you a little bit to adjust to that. Some folks it's real quick, and other folks it takes them a little bit of time to adjust to their surroundings.
Hmm. Boy, I don't know if I'm going to like this afterlife or not. I can see why there's a bit of anxiety about the whole thing, right? I mean, not just the whole idea of leaving this physical plane, but the idea of the unknown, you know, are you ever coming back again, right? I mean, you get a certain set of dogma that's drilled into you that, you know, you're here once and that's it by some religions, not all, keep in mind. But the idea that you're going into the ether and that your friends and relatives are in the ether, and you know, even though you hear from people who've had the near-death experience that it's such a wonderful experience and it's so lovely and you don't ever want to come back, but that was you. What about me? What if I enjoy this place? You know, what if I'm having a great time here? You know, why would I want to go over there? You know, there's a lot of fear of the unknown.
Sure.
You know,
Tim, the best way I can explain it, when somebody passes, okay, it's just like in life. You're born, you take your first steps, you go to school, et cetera, and then you pass away. Well, in the afterlife, you have steps that you have to do in the afterlife as well.
Mm-hmm.
You go from this level to this level. And this is the coolest thing. Their timeline is completely different than ours is. So what we might think is like, you know, 10, 15 seconds, to them, it's 10,000 years, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the cool thing that spirits have explained this to me is what will happen to them is they will be taken to the level that they need to go to. And they can go back every level they were at, except the body they came out of. Hmm. That's how they explained it to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. You know, Blaine, what confounds me is this, right? For as great as the afterlife is supposed to be, we still deal with malevolent energies here on this plane of Earth, right? I mean, not everybody... Yeah. Jumps out of the meat suit and goes and meets relatives and has a great time on the other side. For all intents and purposes, from what we believe, and again, I'm using in air quotes. Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. Let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk about this.
Okay.
About the spirits that are stuck here. Are we understanding this the way we think we're understanding it? And we'll talk about that with our guest. Lee Triana Brown and Blaine Rowan are my guests. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about what we believe or what we think are malevolent spirits that are trapped here on Earth. Do we believe it to be so? Is that what they really are? We'll talk about that when we come back. We'll also talk about some of the cases that both of them have been on. And we'll talk about some of their TV work and some of their book work. And when we come back, we'll also talk about some of the classes they're teaching as well. And we'll get filled in on them both. And then... you never know. Maybe we'll talk about future shows with them as well. So when we come back, we'll talk about everything. Lee Triana Brown and Blaine Rowan. When we come back next on the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Welcome back to the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Tim Dennis. Our sponsor today, folks, before I go any further, it's Jelly Bean and Julia. And by the way, if you're heading out this weekend and you want to head out for a great dinner tomorrow night, Friday night's a great night to head out to Jelly Bean and Julia's. Jellybeanandjulias.com, by the way, if you want to check them out online. Friday night, smoked prime rib dinner. Did I get your attention? The best. By the way, if you're used to going to, back in the, if you remember in the 80s and 90s, they had tequila berries over there in Coon Rapids. Go to Jelly Bean and Julia's, or Jelly Bean and Julia's over in Coon Rapids on Coon Rapids Boulevard. They've got something better. The prime rib at Tequila Berries was to die for. Remember the prime rib loft over there at Tequila Berries? Well, you've got both a 14 and a 16 ounce prime rib over there at Jelly Bean and Julia's, but it's a smoked prime rib. They've got that walk-in smoker over there at Jelly Bean and Julia's. Corey's over there working hard for you on Fridays. He's got the 14 to 16 ounce, but then there's more. He's got the old tequila berry salad. Oh, you remember that salad. And that salad dressing, that sweet and tangy salad dressing with the bacon bits in it, the croutons and everything. Oh, so good. And then on top of it, I'm going to ask both Blaine and Lee here. Do you know what a Boston baked potato is?
Yes, I do.
Blaine, you know what it, right?
Yes, I do.
The deep fried baked potato. They do it one better, though. What they do is they deep fry it in an avocado oil.
Ooh.
Oh, my Lord.
Right. So it's a healthy fat. I know it's an oxymoron. It's like saying I'm going to take a dip in a skinny pool. It doesn't sound right, right? But it's a wonderful, wonderful Boston baked potato. On top of it, you also get the Texas toast with it and much, much more. Try it out tomorrow night, folks. That smoked prime rib dinner, it's the special over there. They serve it from 4:30 until it's done. And I'll tell you, it's going to go quick. No reservation needed. Walk in after 4:30 over there at Jelly Bean and Julia's. Much, much more. Saturday night, there's live entertainment. Much, much more. There's a link in the description of this program. Check them out. Jellybeanandjulias.com. Jelly Bean and Julia's. They'll take care of you like your family. All right, let's get back to the program. My guests, Lee Triana Brown and Blaine Rowan. You've probably seen them on programs like Repossessed, Mission Unsolved, Monster Quest, and much, much more. They've got books out there as well. We've got links in the description of this program for both of them. Before the break, we were talking about, do we understand or are we under the assumption that a spirit that's maybe malevolent or walking the earth or earthbound, are they necessarily trapped in their evolution as a spirit here on earth? Now, is it all sweetness and light when we die? And are we necessarily skipping on to the next plane and met by our energy relatives and whatnot? What is it that we're meeting when we're meeting a malevolent spirit? Let's say we go to Waverly Hills, okay? And Blaine, I'll direct this to you first. I go to Waverly Hills, I run into a shadow person. Is that necessarily a malevolent spirit that was once here on Earth and just can't get to that light plane?
A shadow figure is what energy that spirit can manifest. They haven't figured out how the full-bodied apparition yet. So they use the energy they can, and they make themselves a shadow figure. So that's what energy they're putting off, or they can generate.
Okay. So they're kind of weak in their power, so to speak, in order to try and...
They haven't. Most of them you get have not figured out how they can use the energy around them to manifest even more.
Hmm.
I've had spirits tell me this is why I'm saying it back to you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
I've also had spirits tell me that those are people. I've heard that. And I thought, now, how is that possible? Because I've heard other people say that's just a different type of spirit. They're their own species, for lack of a better word. But then it was explained to me that they are pulling energy because they don't have enough of their own energy, like, let's say, a demon or angel would, or even an elemental or a cryptid. You know, they can't push energy out to be able to do a full body. Like Blaine was just explaining, they are pulling energy. That's why it's void. That's why it looks like a shadow.
Interesting. All right. So now, Lee, you just mentioned like an elemental. What exactly are we dealing with? Like at the Palmer House over in here in Minnesota, you've got an elemental that's in the basement.
Yes, you do.
Yep.
What are we dealing with an elemental? What exactly is an elemental then?
Well, it depends on what type of elemental we're talking about. If it's an elemental that an energy worker has been able to create, these beings are created and given a job. And if they're not managed properly, they can get into all kinds of mischief. Let's say on Repossessed, I was in Gettysburg at a haunted object museum. And we had an object to look at. And Spooky Riley is the owner of the place. And she took us upstairs. And she explained to us that this object, she believed, knocked her down the stairs. And actually, she walks with a cane now because of this accident. And one of the ladies that received the object was choked to the point of just before, you know, being, you know, choked out, basically. So I thought, you know, great, what are we looking at here? And we hit the button and the cover came off the top and there's a skeleton key inside. And so they had it through glass inside of another glass with a cover over the top of it. So when you wanted to see it, you could hit the button and you could see it. But otherwise, it was kept from anyone. And I thought, okay, well, let's see about this. And I was sitting on a barrel and Mo and Marika, people that were in the movie, in the TV show with me, they were sitting on one as well. And I had one in front of me. And I wanted to amplify the energy around it. So I put my crystals around it so I could see what's going on quickly. I mean, we wanted to get to the bottom of this now. Especially if somebody was in peril, you know, is this going to happen again?
Mm-hmm.
Because she did not need to go down the stairs again. She was already in so much pain. So I amplified it. All right. It turned out it was an elemental. So I had to calm down after I figured out what it was. Meanwhile, it's attacking us. But I had to, you know, kind of put all that out of my mind and meet it. And he showed himself to me. It looked like he was made of a clay or some kind of mud. He was like the thing or whatever, you know, with all those pieces, yeah. Like a rock.
Yeah.
Like a golem, I guess you'd say. But he was created that way. And he was created by the Nazis to protect a house that they had. And Spooky confirmed that is actually where this object came from when she purchased it for the museum. And because The house was knocked down. Hey, baby. During the war, the house was demolished. The only thing left of the house was the key. And so the elemental was connected to the key. And so when people touch it, I've got to protect it. And he had not been redirected, because whoever it was that created the thing was had forgotten of it or about it, or it they died in the, you know, the fight.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had to deal with him and put him on to another duty. So she protects, it protects the museum now.
Interesting. Huh.
Mm-hmm. So elementals are meant to do that, or they're created by nature. That's something different. If they're nature spirits, then, you know, as you know, elementals are not created. Well, they're created, but they're not, they've never lived incarnate. They've never had a breath or a heartbeat. So they just exist with a conscience.
What about the good old fashioned, let's say we're at the Birdcage Theater in Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
And you're talking about not necessarily a residual haunting that's that tape playing over and over and over again, but you're talking about somewhat of a active haunting that's happening. What is it about that spirit that doesn't want to move on? Or is it a spirit that doesn't want to move on? Is there something else happening there?
I can tell you that most spirits that hang around are scared of something they've done when they were alive.
That's right.
And so they're scared to cross because they don't know. Because I'm not going to get religious here, but, sure, you know, it was pounded in your head. If you do this, you're going to hell. If you do this, you're going to heaven. And they didn't want to go to hell because they thought they had done something so bad that they were going to hell. So they stayed on this plane because they were scared to cross.
That's right. And that's what most people are.
Yeah, we have to show them. It's like, it's not your time to be judged yet. It's your time to move on and go back and see your family. Go back and make amends for stuff you did wrong. And I use my spirit guide. Her name is Janawa. She was 800-900 years ago. She lived as a Cherokee medicine woman like my grandmother was.
Okay.
And she will come get them. And I can tell you this. She's probably about 5'4", 5'5", in height. Mm-hmm. But she's 10 foot tall and bulletproof. She doesn't like the word no too easily. Mm-hmm. And she will cross them and they will come back through after they cross and just thank me. I've had so many spirits do that, thank me, that this just were, you know, bad in life and they're scared to cross. And once they cross, they realize, hey, okay, this isn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. This is actually pretty cool.
How do you now, this may seem kind of like we're splitting hairs here, Blaine, but how do you convince them? Because, you know, there's going to be a life reveal when they get over there, which isn't necessarily judgment.
No.
But how do you convince them that there's not going to be judgment if they go over there?
I don't convince them. My spirit guide, Janawa, does.
What?
Because she's more in tune with them.
Okay.
And I've never seen one refuse to go with her.
So what's
not
the,
once.
Do you know what the trick is or how she does it?
See, I think she gets into their psyche.
Okay.
And shows them what they're going to see before they go through. And it gives them a little bit of prep before they step through. And like I said, I've had more than I could count after she walked them through. And then immediately come right back out and just tears in her eyes saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. I didn't do nothing but give them a way to go.
Because I can't tell you how many times and how many investigators I know that have said, oh, we crossed the spirit over and there's the spirit the next day, the next week, the next month, the next year in that exact same spot.
Well, like I told you before, they can go back to different levels. Except the body they came out of. Like I said, their timeline is not the same as ours. So, yeah, you can cross them this day. Next day, they're right back because that's somewhere they felt comfortable with.
So they can cross over and come back.
Go ahead. Yes.
Hmm.
There's some limitations to that, but yes, they can. I was doing a case. There was a lady that killed her children, and she drove them into a lake, and they were in their car seats and drowned. And she intended to be in her car seat or whatever, strapped in. But of course, she got out at the last minute, and then the babies died, and she didn't. And my husband worked with one of the prison guards. It's actually a police officer. And they were hearing babies crying in the jail. And, you know, that I'm not going to put up with that. You know, these babies didn't do anything wrong. Somebody's got to do something right now. So we went to the jail. And we went in there, and I invited them to go with me. And so they did. And now they're jumping on the bed. And we couldn't get to sleep. We'd fill the bed. You know, I know it sounds crazy, but I'm telling you, we were bouncing around like we were trying to sleep on a trampoline.
Mm-hmm.
And so finally I said, okay, I know you want your mom, because they would cry for their mother. And I know you want your mom. And then they would go from that to being happy and jumping. So it was either one way or the other. So the main thing was for me to try to normalize their emotions. And I was like, okay, let's all sit down here with me. And I could feel their little feet, you know, kind of getting on the bed, and I could feel them crossing their little legs, you know. And I said, okay, so your mom did something bad, and they were, you know, yeah, we know, but don't tell him, he's the baby. And I was like, I know. And I said, but you know, she didn't mean to do it, she was sick. So do you forgive your mother? Because she was sick. She didn't know what she was doing. I mean, I'm not going to tell them that, you know, their mother's a, you know, what I really wanted to say.
Right, right.
And they said, yes, because it doesn't hurt. We were scared, but it doesn't hurt. So, well, good. And I said, now there's people that are waiting for you that want to see you. So we went into that. And I talked to them about what it would feel like, what they would see. And they decided to. And I asked the family to come, and off they went, and I could hear them giggling, and off they were gone. And I was like, oh, thank goodness, you know, they're happy. Well, I guess it was about 2.5 months later. I felt something jumping on the bed, and here I am trying to balance checkbook and figure out what was going on. And I said, oh my God, I haven't felt this since. And it hit me. I said, hey, honey. And it was the older one. What are you doing back here? He said, I wanted to say I love you, thank you. And poof, he was gone. That was it.
So came back just to say hello.
And he loved me, yeah. Just letting me know. He's a curious little booger. He's curious.
Huh.
And now Blaine and I can tell you about an episode, and a situation we had at Sloss Furnaces. There was a man that we thought was stuck in a... We thought it was residual because it looped.
Mm-hmm.
And my son saw it first. And then the entity was talking to him, because my son's dark hair, dark skin like me. And so, and the guy was Italian. So he thought that was his son.
Okay.
And my son said, hey, he's wanting to talk to me. So we all turned around, and Blaine's leading Elijah through this. And as it turned out, the mother, the daughter, and the son and the father all lived together, all worked together at that one location. And Blaine, you're probably better at telling this. I'll let you go for it.
Well, his wife was in charge of feeding. They have a tunnel at Sloss Furnaces that people worked at. That's where they brought the raw materials for the pig iron in.
Okay.
Every day at noon, she would go down with the lunch pails and feed all the people in the tunnels. And her five-year-old daughter was, she told her daughter to stay up top. She would be back in a minute. Well, as the lady was walking down the stairs, she tripped, fell, broke her neck, and instantly died right there. Oof. One of the workers went and ran because the father worked outside. He was the one that controlled the train cars when they came in and when they left. And they ran and got him, and he has to come down another set of stairs. And by the time he got down the stairs, the daughter was impatient. She walked down the stairs and she fell down and died.
Jeez.
Well, so this man had to deal with not only losing his wife, but his daughter as well. The only thing he had left was his son. And his son was working in another part of Slaw's furnaces, so he wasn't down in the tunnel. The connection we made, and this is funny, I had investigated Slaw's probably 60 times because it's real close to where I live.
Mm-hmm.
Spirits know me there. And for the longest time, the mother and the little girl were on two different dimensions. They were there at the same time, but could not see each other. Well, Lee's son Elijah at the time was like 9 years old, and he helped me and Lee reunite the daughter and the mother for the first time. And then us three reunited the wife and the daughter with the father.
Hmm.
That was a big, big day.
I get chills just talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they were missing each other because, you know, they died differently. And here's the thing. The moment that the father saw, you know, they were bringing the people across on a cart to go to the nurse's station to try to do something for them. He looked over and saw them there and went mad instantly. Yeah. That was the end of it for him.
Wow.
So he got stuck in the loop of basically like a residual haunting, where he was working his day, doing his job. He knew his daughter was going to be coming with his wife to bring sandwiches and different food. And, you know, everything was right. It was before the deaths, before he was shot. And he didn't want to leave that, but he also didn't realize what had transpired. That was the moment he lost his mind.
Wow.
So my son, and the way he looked and being able to talk to him, was able to kind of bring him out of that. And with Blaine's help, it was Blaine's moment with my son. He was able to explain to him, okay, what do you see? What does he say? And he could hear him too, but he was just trying to get Elijah's, you know, to communicate. We were able to get him to understand, hey, you're dead too. You can see your family. And meanwhile, you know, the mother had passed. She didn't know that the daughter had passed right behind her. Even though their bodies were on the cart together, they were missing each other. And the father was in a whole different situation because he lost his mind. At some point he died, but his mind was gone. That was it. So nobody was able to connect with each other. They were all in different planes of existence based off the energy that was, I mean, the daughter was very pure. She didn't know she knew she had made a mistake and she had disobeyed. But the wife, you know, what about my daughter? What about my husband? Do they know I did this? You know, it's my mistake. I shouldn't have come down like that. You know, is my daughter okay upstairs? You know, she was in a state of panic. So her emotion was different than the daughter's. And then the dad was just, that was the end of him. He was through. So trying to get them all connected was a big task.
So when you see something, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Lee. I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish that thought.
Yeah, just to get them all together where they could meet each other, everybody's energy had to be adjusted. And that's why we use Janimal. And I have one named Minnie, and then we have several others. But to get the little girl present of mine, you know, to be present in the moment to understand at her age what happened. The mother to say, wait a minute, calm down. We've got your daughter. We've got your husband. Let's get everybody together and get him snapped out of it to where everybody saw each other. And then they were able to ascend to a different plane. And, you know, in the Bible, it says that hell is to be absent from God.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've Blaine and I both have worked with several Catholic priests and archbishops that talk to us a lot about how they explain these spirits being in this divide as being in purgatory.
Yeah.
And that they're neither one way or the other. They're stuck in the purgatory. And that's why they believe you can pray for people in purgatory to help them. And so this whole situation makes sense to them, because what we're doing is we're interacting with them, and to use energy or spirit guides or prayers or whatever tactic is to give them healing. Now, if they want to stay there and be its lost furnace, everybody together, good job. I don't mind. Crossing them over to somewhere is not really my thing. I believe that where they're where they want to be. But trying to get people reunited, that's absolutely imperative.
Yeah.
Bringing them peace, that healing, and that love. I mean, love is the strongest energy. It can transcend everything.
But it doesn't seem to me that was where they wanted to end up in the first place, right? When they passed. If they had their druthers, they'd want to be in a place of perfect light and peace, right?
Yeah. But the presence of mind at the time of their death was, oh my gosh, I'm falling. And then my daughter. And then out. She's looking for the daughter. The daughter goes down, Mama. And then she's out. She doesn't even know what happened. And he lost his mind. So that's where they went. And they weren't together. You would think it would be the other. You would think that it would be the happy hunting grounds over the mountain and everybody's good. Sometimes it's just not that way. I believe that's why some of us have the gift. I believe that there are hard times that exist. And we develop these things because in the Bible it says, I'm not going to give you any problem that I'm not going to help you through. Well, is this not the way of helping us through? Does it not bless other people? Are we conquering negative things? Yes. People that have negative energies are drawn to things that are negative. So that's what judgment's about. And, you know, we're living in Satan's little season, and that's a whole rabbit hole right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
Talking about that.
It is.
But there's going to be disjointing because of this. So disjointed thoughts and spirits. That's why it's so important for all of us to do our best to affect the people around us in a positive way. If our lives meant nothing to anybody but ourselves, what was the point of being here?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, yeah. You know, you kind of answered what my next question was going to be, and that is,
but
you did it eloquently, Lee. No, you did it eloquently. And that is, if it weren't for the fact that you and Blaine come along, then who was going to be there to reunite that family?
We don't know. It was destined for us to do it. Because I had been talking, for many times I've been there, I would have conversations with the mother. I would have conversations with the little girl. I did not see the father until like the 20th time I was there, because the mother and daughter always came through.
Mm-hmm.
They would come through on EVPs. They would come through on ghost boxes, and they would come directly to me. And it took me, Matt, and her son, and Lee, to reunite these three spirits back together.
Well, now here's a thought, and this is let's just brainstorm together. According to the different religions that are, the major religions. Okay, I'm not saying all of them because there's so many. And yes, I've tried to study them, and it's a lot. Mm-hmm. I'll get through it eventually. But when people die, there's either judgment, transitioning to an afterlife of celestial love and healing, unconditional love, or hell and judgment and damnation, or reincarnation.
Right.
And if you look at reincarnation closely, you can see it in the Old Testament. You see it in Apocrypha.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that we've gotten some pieces missing with this. If you look at the Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Apocrypha, and you start trying to smash it all together, we don't have all the pieces. I do believe that the reason why we were able to put it together was because we benefited as much as they did.
Exactly.
It was every bit as much healing for us. Look at this. Look what happened in the name of love. You know, they were suffering in the name of love, but maybe their belief they could find each other because time stands still. They weren't hurting very long. I mean, to them, it might have been moments, you know?
True. Yeah. You have no measurement of time on that side. Yeah.
Mm-mm. But I do believe that part of the reason why we were able to help was because we needed to. They needed it and we needed to. It could have been that there's some things that happened with the mother and father that put them in this state of, let me get my words together. The transition between, you know, there's a transition to an afterlife, whether there's spirit realm or heaven, reincarnation to another life, or a return to a universal consciousness or source. I believe they were fighting all of those things. It was their decision to fight all of that. And what if that would have led them to reincarnation so they could all be together again? We don't know. I mean, we may have interrupted something that was going to naturally take its course. But they were happy. We saw it. It was beautiful. We were more than happy to be a part of it all. So,
yeah.
You know, luckily God's not limited. You know, doesn't depend on us.
I think if anything, you've extradited it to the point where they can maybe all, you know, they've always maybe traveled in the same soul family, if you want to believe in that.
Right.
But now you've definitely grouped them back in the same soul family. And now if they are going to come back and reincarnate,
they can make a conscious decision together.
Yeah, they can make that conscious decision together. And they can do it at the same time because now they're all together again.
Yeah.
My husband and I came back when we were reincarnated from a previous life. He died before me. And I was trying to hurry up and get to him. I surpassed him and I'm older than him. And I thought that was interesting. We got to get it together before we get to that point. Because I don't want to do that again. If I don't have to come back this time, I'm not. I'm tired.
No. Do you believe that you could drop out and become a spirit guide somewhere and just say, you know what, you're on your own, hun. Sorry. You can keep coming back, but I'm done.
Yeah.
I think you're given the choice.
Yeah.
To come back. Because I know me, Lee, and her husband, Matt, and probably had at least 40 lives together over the centuries, if not more. But we always end up finding each other.
Yeah.
Somehow. Look at Enoch. I know at some point he didn't decide he was going to be an archangel. He had no idea that he could be Metatron, but he did it. You know, so if there's a way to do that, there's a way to stay in the divine and not come back. But honestly, I feel like it's everyone's nature to want to improve and to grow. And that's probably why we're all here anyway. So.
Is there such a thing in your, both your understandings as the ability to not grow any further? Like, is there such a thing as spiritually you've grown as far as you can?
Yes, you can make that choice. If you want to, just say now, okay, I've had 40 lives and I don't want to do this anymore. I want to help somebody else now. I want to help other spirits grow. You have that choice.
I
worry about all of a sudden now I'm just like the highwaymen, you know, I might be a drop of rain or I might be, you know, but I'm still here even though I died, you know, the song.
Yeah.
I know that I'll continue. I mean, no matter what I want to do, I'm going to continue. I don't know in what manner, but not growing and not being, not continuing to evolve is my worst fear.
Yeah. That's why we've always chosen to come back, because we want that. We want that growth. We want that knowledge. And some spirits are like, okay, I've had enough. You know, just let me go work an office job, you know.
Yeah. Peace out. I'm done. Yeah. Get me with work. I'm done.
Well, I'm just wondering if you can maybe, it may seem weird, but if you can spiritually stunt your own growth, you know, like you do it a few hundred times, you're like, you know what? I kind of went off the merry-go-round because I really can't learn anything more. I mean, you know, you're kind of going through the motions.
Well, with myself, I thrive for knowledge anyway. Mm-hmm. And my grandfather told me the best thing. He says, boy, the day you stop learning is the day you die. And I'm 60 years old and I learn something new every day.
Well, I believe that too.
My grandmother used to say that. She was 99. Well, you taught me something today. I'm 99 and I'm still learning. She'd say that over and over. And that was her way of telling me, it doesn't matter what you want, you'll always be learning. Like, take for instance, I don't know if you're aware, but there's several Native American religions that believe that they are to stay behind seven generations in order to stay with their family. They want to stay with their family for seven generations to lead them. Mm-hmm. So, but that doesn't mean they've stopped growing. It means that they're going to stay there and lead them and protect them and fight for them. And, you know, I know my poor spirit guides. I know I've given them a bit. No, Lee, I told you not to do that. No, Lee, I told you not to go there. But yeah, it's the way that it is.
Do you suppose that, we could take this in the opposite direction too and talk about, people who have maybe only had just a few lives here, you know, and there.
Yeah, there's some young souls.
Yeah, some newer souls and you know, the potential for growth. You know, everybody wants to think they're an old soul until you get around a few that you go, boy, they have a lot to learn.
Those are fun for us.
You know, do you have an easy time telling them, you got a lot to learn?
Yeah. No, it's not easy for me, but they irritate me. So I let Blaine tell them.
Yeah, so she lets me be the bad guy because I'm like, I have no filter anyway. It's like, sorry, bud, you've only had like three lives. Come see us when you've had 40, 50.
I try my best to go about it like, you know, okay, well, in your past life, well, in this past life, you know, that kind of thing, because energy can't be created or destroyed. It can only be changed, right? Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, we're all should be about the same age, but our consciousness is what stays with us. That's where our soul, you know, lives. Our aura, you know, the energy through us, and then our mind. So maybe they just weren't evolved enough to be able to keep it all together to move. Mm-hmm. I mean, who knows? I've met some people. Last time I felt spirit like this, it was an animal. Hmm. You know, they're still evolving, and I'll say it, and I'm like, did you feel what I feel? You know, did you feel that? And there's some that felt like a fairy. You know, I could. You know, just it's just very different. But I can tell you that there's a lot of time before organized religion. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I believe that all those souls that lived before that are the ones that are coming back now, you know, and getting another chance at things, because, you know, with organization comes discipline, and with discipline comes knowledge. I feel like they, you know, we are advancing at a very, very high pace. So it gives them a chance to have knowledge given to them too.
I tell you what, we'll have to have you back and talk more about some of the cases you guys have done, because we're starting to get to the end of our time. But I do have an interesting question for both of you here as we start to wrap things up, and that's this. There's more and more souls that are being added to the planet. We've never had this many souls before on our planet. And you brought up an interesting point here, Lee, that you sometimes you feel some of these souls and you wonder where they came from, right? whether they be animal, mineral, vegetable, or something else, fairy or whatever. Where do you think all these souls are coming from?
I do believe that they're, I believe in reincarnation. And I know that there are people that died at a very early age where they gave themselves, they took on a responsibility that ended their life early. You know, soldiers that were protecting children that were prisoners of war, or people protecting prisoners of war, or a woman dying because her husband died and she couldn't manage the farm by herself and take care of the kids and everybody starved or froze to death. People that died of smallpox and never had a chance. You know, there's a lot of people that are born, stillborn, even though we are better at giving, you know, people having a birth, a live birth, but there's still those. There's people that have been aborted that should have lived. And as we know, energy is not going to be held back. Destiny is not going to be held back. And God is not limited. So if we have a situation where there's somebody that was meant to do something and a moron just did this, come on back. You never got a chance. I'll hold the door for you. Come on in.
Yeah.
And that's only fair. That is only fair that they get that chance too.
Yeah.
And maybe us on the that's already living that deserve it, because it's not easy here.
No.
But
yeah, Lee took the words right out of my mouth, because I was going to say about the same thing she just said.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Do you think, let me throw this monkey wrench in on you real quick. We'll go outside the planet, especially since Artemis 2 is coming back as we're taping this. Do you think there's anything from outside our planet that's reincarnating here?
Yes. Oh, yes, absolutely.
And I'll tell you this, mathematically, we cannot be the only little dot in this big universe that has life forms, that has life. So, yes, I do believe some of them are being reincarnated here, because a lot of them came from other places to here.
Mm-hmm. When you two reach out psychically, do you feel any souls that are alien human hybrid? Do you feel yeah, people
all
that
the
are
time.
Yeah.
Me and Lee were when they had the Aurora Borealis that finally came down south. We got to watch that. We were communicating with spaceships and they were moving on command for us.
We had witnesses.
Yeah.
And we went back to her house and me and Lee was sitting in her living room. Her husband Matt went to bed and we had three beings come down through her ceiling.
Hmm.
I believe it was a hologram. I don't know if it was actually like, I know it wasn't flesh and blood because the wood and the brick and all of that didn't stop them. But there they were in a celestial form, almost silken, you know?
Yeah.
And they didn't communicate with their mouths. They communicated telepathically.
Okay.
And I think they were just really happy to be recognized. And the fact that we communicated with love, you know, they were, you know, they're like, we'll see you again. You know, yes, we're here. And you did reach us, because my message was, I have a friend whose father had followed UFOs and aliens. And he psychically was able to draw the crafts and things like that. And so he was telling me how to communicate. And I was like, okay, well, he said, this is how you communicate. So I said, well, here it goes. And Blaine said, I'm right with you. And so I did what he said to do. And then they would move this way or that way based off of our conversation. Same with Blaine. My husband tried it. We had Debbie on the phone. She's doing the same thing and her son's tracking it. We had my husband, who's in the Army aviation. He had all these different things pulled up of flight patterns. Blaine did too. And they were tracking. There should be nothing there. And there it is.
Mm.
Wow. So it was really cool. It was a beautiful moment.
Wow.
It was very beautiful.
See, I can't.
And
get
they
it.
Told us, they told me and Lee, said, we came to you because of your energy and your love that you showed us. Yeah. That was just amazing to us.
It is amazing.
It was very sweet. They're very high, highly evolved creatures.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have to be somewhat psychically open to have an experience like that?
I
don't know if it was because we are, or they just loved our energy.
Huh.
Because we showed positive energy toward them. And I'm guessing anybody, if they would have showed them the positive energy we showed them, they might have showed themselves to them too.
Interesting. Very interesting.
But who could have seen them? Maybe the fact that we had the ability to see them, they decided to do it. I don't know. It was here and gone before I could get my mind around it. And when Blaine talks about it or I talk about it, I doubt my senses because, I can't believe that happened.
Well, see, there seems to be a kind of a cross thread between being able to see these creatures, being able to see Bigfoot, being able to see spirits. I mean, it seems like they all kind of resonate on that plane, don't they?
They do, actually.
Yeah.
Because we've had cryptid experiences as well.
Yeah. See, I mean, I hate to say it, but there's some of us that are kind of supernaturally blind to a way.
You choose to be.
Well, you say that, but, you know, again, this is one of those topics I think maybe we need to talk about on another show. But, you know, you talk about some people whose pineal gland may be shut and it may be physically shut. It may not be. You know, it may not be shut by other means or because they've shut it themselves, but it may be shut by other reasons. It may be physically shut, you know, not necessarily because they've chosen to shut it, but because of physical means.
Well, I had a thought. It just hit me. You mind?
Go ahead.
Cryptids aren't just animals. And ghosts aren't just spirits. They're both evidence that our reality isn't as solid as we think.
That's a good thought. I truly do believe that. But there and I truly do believe those who live in the physical and a good way of putting it, Lee, is those who worship the physical will only stay in the physical.
There it is.
Yeah. They won't see those entities that live on that fringe. They never will, and because they won't want to. But
a lot of them can't put their mind around it. So
yeah. So it'll never happen for them.
But that's okay.
Yeah, but it's also a bit of a stretch too. I mean, to if you've always been firmly in the physical and told that there's nothing, and you know, I a couple of weeks ago I had Dr. Michael Gillen on the program, who was ABC's science editor. Until he used science to get to God and to get himself to a place of supernatural places. And it was a stretch for him.
It is.
But he had to get himself there.
If you look at Dr. Russell Targ's work, you know, he was a physicist.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew magic based off of physics, mm-hmm. you know. He knew magic from the time he was a child, but he used the knowledge of science and how he would develop lasers and things like that to be able to test psychic abilities. And he was able to be a psychic spy for the CIA during the Cold War. And he was born with no psychic abilities whatsoever. So when Blaine says some people choose not to, it basically says the same thing you just said, that there are those that can't put their mind around it, so therefore they'll never have the experience. And so all of that is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Science has been able to identify multiple different dimensions. Of course, they are somewhat theoretical, but one was actually tested by a laser of light that went through. And when they were about to put the laser through, the light came out before they even put it in, and that showed that the dimension ran backwards. There's just a lot of things that we don't know, and human perception is limited to a narrow frequency band. So my theory is that science is what we can measure, experience is what people can report, and then the truth is what some people can actually experience, but not everybody. So therefore, it'll always be a pseudoscience because not everybody can have the same experience.
And I think there's going to be a lot of skeptics that are going to hate me for this next statement, but science is much like the Bible. You can take out of it what you want and use it for what you want to use it for. And yeah, try to make absolutely. Your points out of what you want to make, you know, take your points out of and try to make your case.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And Dr. Gillen stated exactly that same thing a couple of weeks ago, that science actually proves there's a supernatural world out there, because science a lot of times isn't rooted in the physical. There's a lot of murky stuff out there in science.
And in theory.
Yeah. There's a lot of theory in science. But again, I'm beating a dead horse here. It's stuff that he said a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, we got to do this again, folks. We got a lot of stuff that we didn't even go over on today's show that we still need to go over. There's cases that you both have been on. We haven't even talked about Repossessed or Monster Quest or any of the shows you've been on or any of the books. Actually, let's talk quickly before we leave today about some of the books that you're both working on. Lee, let's talk about books real quick.
All right. So I've written several books. Let's see, I've written 9. And I think among my favorites is Your Psychic Connection. And I will be writing part 2 to that. It's the beginning, Your Journey Within Explained. So it's about psychic ability and the different types there are and how you can test yourself. And the class that I'm teaching now is a master class about psychic ability. And so right now I've got these 9 that I've already done. One being A Psychic Child. So You Think Your Kid Is Psychic is the name of the book, and psychic, Your Psychic Connection. I've got those. And then Parapsychology 101, and then My Family Stories, Family Spirit. And, so there's a bunch, but coming forward, I'm doing Crypts and Cryptids, and it's about our paranormal, experiences with crypts and, some cryptid experiences that I've had. And so it'll be a continuation of my first book. And I'm also doing a recipe book. It's called Bewitched Book of Boo Bites.
Nice.
And it's about little Halloween desserts and appetizers. And it's going to have little ghostly, gently ghost, spooky stories and a little coloring page. So it's just right for, you know, the baby and the mama and dad or whatever, or somebody that really likes fun things, you know, and cooking. You know, we've got bat wings, and it's actually barbecue wings with blackberry jam mixed in.
Well, that sounds good.
So it's just something for a little fun, you know?
Yeah, that sounds really good. I only half ate my dinner before we started taping, so now you're making me hungry again. That's for sure. Blaine, what do you have going on in the literary world?
Well, the first book I wrote was with Matt and Lee. We wrote So You Think Your Kid's Psychic. We did that book to help parents of children that have gifts. Because I grew up with my grandmother for only 3 years before she got remarried and moved away. So my help with this was gone. So I had to deal with all these spirits by myself. And so when we wrote the book, that's what we did it for, to help them. My second book, it's called Our Sacred Journey, and it's basically my journey of becoming an empath medium until today. And the one I just finished that Lee's editing for me is called Our Supernatural Journey. And I go through 41 years of investigating different locations across the United States and the world. And I ended it with a chapter called Internet Radio. Because that's where we all do internet radio. Mm-hmm. You know, we're podcasters and we're creative. We're creative content creators. I couldn't get my words right there. Sorry, Tim.
That's all right.
I just finished it. Lee is doing the editing for me now. But yeah, that's my third. And myself, Lee, and her husband, Matt, are going to write a book called The Cemetery Club. Some adventures we've had.
I can't wait on that one.
Oh, that one's going to be so fun to write.
You would think that cemeteries, you know, may be active, but but not so much. Why would you want to hang around there?
Yeah.
But the stuff we've had happen, it's been crazy. I laugh because it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun.
That sounds intriguing. That's for sure. Blaine, you mentioned content creating. Of course, the All Access Network is the podcast network that you both own.
Lee owns it. I'm just a consultant.
All right, I'll correct that. Lee owns and that you both run. Give us an idea. You both have a podcast, right, on that network?
Yes.
Tell them,
Lee. The name of the pod.
Yes, don't jump in and promote it all at the same time, kids. Come on.
We're all on the same show, so I'm letting her go with it.
Yeah. I started Family Spirit, 16 years ago. I started doing it on radio. Blaine was doing Blog Talk Radio at the time. And we met, and I was his agent a little while. That was pretty crazy. And we met whenever I booked him to come to one of my paranormal conferences. And it was like meeting a brother. It really was. And come to find out, he had actually served under my father-in-law. And my husband remembered him when they saw each other. And that was it. So anyway, I started Family Spirit to talk about the children, mine and my husband's. We have children that are psychic. And I remember my mom and my grandmother talking about raising me and Mama Jenny talking about raising mom. And it goes all the way back to my great grandmother. So I thought, well, let's just go ahead and get all of these generations, to write these stories. Well, I lost Mama Jenny before she could, donate too much. So mom stepped in and was able to put a lot in. And so Matthew and I talked about our kids and things that happened to us personally as children. And then I asked Blaine, and Blaine contributed a lot, because he's worked with a lot of children, and he's also been a psychic child. So, and then we've asked other people to contribute too. Gwen Johns, who is the producer for me with All Access Network Television, she has some things that are very different than what we've experienced. And I wanted to include them for that reason, to give some more variety.
Yeah.
And she'd be great to have on too, if you'd like that. She's awesome. She's not been in the field as long as my husband and Blaine and myself, but she's interviewed so many people that I think that she's got a really good perspective. And I would just love to have you on our show, Family Spirit. Like I said, it's been going 16 years. I added international because at the time it was going to different radio stations across the world. And now we know that it is. And we just started Cryptid Nation, and it's a podcast about cryptids. I'm working on my theory about cryptids and the supernatural, because they're interdimensional.
Yep.
And why you often see them at the same time, together, within close proximity of each other. So, we're talking about that, having people on that have seen things and had things happen. We've had some really good guests so far, and we've got more coming. We've got a war veteran coming on talking about what he experienced in country. It's going to be incredible.
Wow. It sounds really good.
Those are the two podcasts. Oh, and then I have Haunted Sister Diaries that I do with the producer of the network, Gwen Johns. And it's just us two, talking to different people. Blaine, he really helps out all the podcasters. We've got 24 now. And he fills in. And hops from one show to the next.
Wow.
So, yeah, he really helps out a lot.
You stay busy, Blaine, huh?
He does.
Nothing else to do, man.
I guess not.
We need him.
Yeah, most definitely. All right, so we'll have links to everything. We'll have links to books, programs, to All Access Network, so you guys can check out the programs and much, much more. Guys, we gotta, and yes, I'd love to come on Family Spirits. I'd love to come on and chat with you guys. So that would be fun. But we gotta have you guys back so we can talk investigations and some of your more kind of hair raising investigations. We've talked about some of the more inspiring ones today, which was kind of cool. I liked the discussions we had today. That it was really cool. So
me too.
Yeah.
So we've had some hair raising ones, but the most important ones are ones that tug at your heartstrings.
Yeah, most definitely. So
we're all in this together.
That's right. That's right. So Lee, Blaine, I want to thank you both very much for being on today.
Thank you for having us, man. It's an honor and pleasure.
Yeah, thank you both. Thank you both. Folks, we're on the weekend, and a couple of notes before we take off today. One, the Darkness Radio Apple app is updated and ready for you. If you offloaded it for one reason or another, I don't know why you would, but if you did, go get it, update it. Make sure you've got it in your pantheon of apps, as you would on your Apple device, whether it be iPad, iPhone, your watch, whatever you got it on. You can access all things Darkness Radio on your Darkness Radio Apple app. Make sure you have it. Two, you've got the new Darkness Radio swag or True Crime Tuesday swag. It's available right now, darknessradioshow.com, or on the Apple app. You can get the access to the store there. Be sure you support the show by going and getting the new swag, whether it be Darkness Radio hoodies, t-shirts, rocks glasses, all kinds of stuff. We even have anniversary gear, 20th anniversary gear there as well. And last but not least, warm weather this weekend. Finally, warm weather this weekend in the Twin Cities and everywhere. Spring cleanup, that's a huge thing. Make sure this weekend you're helping out your disabled and elderly neighbors or friends or family in your community. Be a light in someone's darkness this weekend. Go out there and help your disabled and elderly people in your community with spring cleanup. A message from your friends here at Darkness Radio. For Mally Fox, for Jessica Freeberg, for Travis Thorpe, for Beer City Bruiser, I'm Tim Dennis. Thank you so much for continuing to listen and watch the best in paranormal podcasting. Rate and review. Give us a good rating, whether you be on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever it is. And come on back next week for more great programming here on the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.